It's moving.
It's moving. Okay, it's about 3 minutes after six on Wednesday, February 24th, 2019. I'd like to call the Village of Alloway Historic Preservation Committee meeting to order. The first order of business is the roll call. Fowler?
Here.
Fredericks? He's absent. Juno?
Here.
Mooney?
Here.
Ropp? Here. Cappuccino Simmons?
Here.
Gingrich is not here. Next order of business is election of a chair. Trevor, do we have to, should we just open the nominations?
Yes.
So I just open the nominations?
Yes, and I can just give a quick, you're allowed two consecutive years. All right, I believe you served one year consecutively. I know you served previously in the past more. And then vice chair, there's not a limit on that.
So there's no term limits for me if the committee decides to. I should keep my mouth shut. So I'll open the nominations. Anybody wanting to put somebody's name out?
I nominate Howard to be chair.
I second.
We have a nomination and a second. Any discussions? Any other names? All in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. I guess I can, maybe I shouldn't have voted for myself. Sorry.
I do.
Okay. Next item on the agenda, election of vice chair. So again, I'll open the nominations for anyone wishing to put forth one.
I'll nominate Bobby Frederick to serve.
Okay, we have a nomination, Bobby Fredericks. Do we have a second? I'll second. Any discussion? Anyone? Any other names? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number four, modify and adopt tonight's agenda. Trevor, do you know of any changes or modifications?
Nope.
I'll make a motion to adopt the agenda.
We have a motion.
I'll second.
And a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? The motion carries. Item number five, approve minutes from April 24th, 2019 meeting.
I'll make a motion to approve.
We have a motion to approve.
A second.
We have a second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? That motion carries. Item number six, announcements. Trevor, do you have any announcements?
I do not.
No announcements. Anything from any committee members? We're moving right along here. Yeah. Public appearances. I guess we don't have to. Where's Jim?
That's an easy
no.
He might be on vacation. I don't know. He wasn't at our meeting last night either.
Oh, true, yes. Yeah.
What are we going to do? Okay, hearing none, seeing none, we'll move on to item number eight. Discussion regarding Certified Local Government Historic Preservation Commission's report, 2019.
Can you just give us a highlight, Trevor?
Yeah. So I provided you tonight the full version. I didn't feel like trying to take the staples out and scan that in, but in your packets was the brief summary. And This is the first year, I believe, the Wisconsin Historical Society has done this, and it was paid for by a grant. But essentially, on page two, I think, is the meat of everything. Sometimes certified local governments can get some flack about being overreaching or what have you from property rights activists. So the Wisconsin Historical Society put this information together so that you could present anyone that might be in opposition to the group with some facts. So the statistics on the top right corner, percent of landmark parcels in the CLG community, you can see that there's very few, actually, and that the amount of certificate of appropriateness that are denied, it's only 2%. So that's, you know, that's pretty good. It shows that more or less the landmark commissions or the historic preservation commissions are here to work with them. They're just trying to gauge the what type of projects are going on. And then I think the other one that's important to point out is the Historic Preservation Committee review time of certificate of appropriateness. Most thought that it was either about as long as they expected or less time. So I think that's pretty good. I think in our process we limit ourselves, which not every municipality does, but we limit ourselves to like a 30-day or 45-day review. So that's pretty quick, I think. Considering that we meet once a month, or we're scheduled to meet once a month, so. So yeah, so if, like I said, I provided you tonight with the full report. Feel free to thumb through it. They have some good case studies in the back that you could reference. But I think if you have any other questions, we can either discuss it tonight, or we can add it as a future agenda item.
It's interesting to see the all the charts, you know, where, you know, Janesville has 8.4% of their area is landmark parcels. This might be something we'd want to put on the agenda for next time, just because we've got some stuff to read and some questions maybe to raise, and rather than just try and skim through it now. Some things to think about and see where we fit in, if we need to consider changing the way we do things. It's interesting. Any comments or questions on this one? Okay, I guess we'll move on to item number 9, discussion regarding Wisconsin Association for Historic Preservation Commission's presentation standards and guidelines.
Yes, and I didn't include this in your packet because I actually just received it from the state. But as you recall, back in April, Bobby and I had the opportunity to go to the annual state conference for historic preservation commissions. They had nationally recognized speakers there talking about the Secretary of Interior's different design guidelines, and they also had other workshops as far as annual reporting and that type of thing. But I really thought the Secretary of Interior's standards of rehabilitation would specifically apply to us, because if we ever received a certificate of appropriateness, these are the standards that we would be making a decision based off of. So I plan to email this to you so that you can review it as we go through. But there's really 10 standards that they look at. And they kind of break it down into a couple different categories. So the first and the seventh standard look at the use and treatments. So will the property be used the same and requires minimal change to distinctive characteristics. They're not saying that, you know, if it was historically a dentist's office, that it couldn't be a law office or something like that. But I think they're looking at is, was this, did this used to be a grocery store and now the front windows are going to be boarded up and it's going to become a house or something like that. Those are the types of uses they're looking at. And then the treatments, again, as you can read here, are any of the repair works, are they going to harm like a brick or something that would damage the structural integrity of the property? The second grouping talks about retaining and preserving the specific characteristics that make that property unique. And without reading through all these, they more or less talk about just that. They want the period in time in which the building was constructed to maintain. You're able to tell that it was built in the 1920s. They don't want to add something that was maybe characteristic more of like the 1950s or that sort of thing. So a lot of these are pretty straightforward, but again, it's just always nice to review, I think. Jump ahead here. So again, this here's some examples of, or an example of the first one, that the property will be used as it historically was. So this was a train depot. They want you to be able to tell that historically it was a train depot. So I think a good example might be Titletown restaurant. You can still tell that it's, the use has changed, but you can still tell that it historically used to be a train depot. This is a bad example of a reuse. This is the historic building, and then with the different added varied roof lines, there's no way to tell. You know, they even put a hip roof at the end here. There's no way to tell that this was historically that.
Trevor, the original building, did it say what its use was? It doesn't look like a single-family home.
No. They didn't in the presentation.
I was just curious. You know, it looks like it could be a warehouse or a, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. if it was on a farm, I'd say, well, maybe it's full of hay or something.
Yeah, right.
Who knows? Yeah.
So the big takeaway message was kind of exactly what I think you might be talking about. The purpose behind a certificate of appropriateness or is not to prohibit modifications or changes. It's just to preserve the integrity or what the building was originally created for at its bones. This is an example of an old church, I believe. They added hallways in this old warehouse, but they're hallways that they could be removed. They're not structurally changing the building. This was a good example of a property that maybe this was historically the original building, but over time different structures might have been added on or around the property, maybe such as this gable or something, and over time those have become part of the historic significance of the property. So I guess maybe a local example of this might be GBCI. Green Bay Correctional Institution. Obviously, the whole building wasn't constructed all at once. It was built over several decades. So we're looking at the use of the building. So then they started talking about, and we discussed this a little bit at our last meeting, the new kind of era of thinking that you can replace things as long as it doesn't have to be exact, because I think at least in the historic preservation culture, they're beginning to realize that some of these things, there's no craftsman around to replicate, or the materials just don't exist. So it's okay to replace like with like. So similar things. So I believe last time I had the slate tile roof and compared the slate tile with the faux material. And as long as they look similar, they're okay to replace. And they kind of demonstrated this with this example of a new smile. So it's okay to replace maybe one tooth at a time. As long as you're able to tell what that big tooth looks like. But then to replace, sorry, I'm jumping ahead actually, this is something a little bit different, but to replace the entire feature, and it almost creates a false sense of history, that's what they're concerned about. So, you can see painted bricks here, some deteriorated brick siding. This is not that big of a concern for them, because there's a distinction between old and new. So it may seem counterproductive at times to have something that might not, you might want to try and match the original architecture as close as possible, but then in their eyes, it creates a false sense of history. And then from the back of this building, or from the front street view, you can't even hardly see the addition. So those types of additions would be okay. But in addition, I believe there's one on Miramar Drive in the historic district that wasn't, the house looks like it fit, like it was originally constructed with the rest of the neighborhood. However, they did a major addition to the house and matched it so perfectly that now it's a non-contributing building in that district. Because of the fact that they created a false sense of history. That's kind of the gist of that. There's a few other presentations I'm hoping to receive over the next couple months from the state, and I'll share those with you as I receive them. They obviously did a lot better job and a lot more thorough detail. I apologize, I had my notes somewhere and I went to look for them today and I cannot find them. So I'm doing all this off memory right now, but if I find my notes, I'll scan those and send those to you.
Trevor, are there any, you gave an example of a home that was in the Miramar district. Can you think of any others or any potentials? I was thinking about the carriage house, you know, we had the tour. Now the carriage house has been purchased, and the owner is going to renovate it. And it used to be a garage, and now it's going to be a home. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's not on the National Register, I don't believe. But if it were, I'm just kind of, you know, throwing it out there for discussion in case it was, or in case we wanted to have it locally designated or otherwise.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know that the owner would change the shape. I mean, it's a big brick building. And I think it was all internal stuff, but it's not the same use, and it's not going to look the same on the inside. It's just something to think about.
Yes, and that's actually a good example. So if you recall, when we toured it, the front porch had that big stucco siding that was added later on. She has since taken that off, and I believe is in the process of replacing that. If she wanted to replace it to match the house, probably would be appropriate to ask for a historic picture to try and see if that, if she, what she was matching matched the original. If she wasn't able to provide that, it would be a consideration maybe to ask just to not match the material, because you don't want, again, to create that false sense of history, if that makes sense.
Yeah, and it could be more issues relating to that property than just that one. I mean, we don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't seen it since. I don't know. I know someone who knows the woman who bought it. I know she was going to turn the grease pit, you know, that where you drove the car, and she was going to make that into some kind of a spa or a hot tub or something. Good luck. No, it's interesting. I thought about that property potentially being changed quite a bit.
A good example, not in the village, but just down the road from us, is in the city of Green Bay, Whitney School. That property was not listed on the National Register. However, the developer that purchased the property was seeking the tax credits and was able to find photos of what the building originally looked like, and was able to make alterations to put it back to how it was, then list it onto the National Register, and it was accepted to the National Register with those changes because they were historically accurate. And then now they're proceeding with their project to make those into apartments. And able to receive those tax credits from the state and federal government.
We owned a home in South Minneapolis that was in a historic district, and when we it needed painting because it was blue stucco, lots of blue stucco. It was a huge house for just two people and a small dog, but we tried to research what colors. We didn't. There were no photographs of color. Built a home built in 1914, but you know, we tried to do some research on what colors were used back then. You know, and so we tried to match, tried to find something that at least sort of made you feel like you were back in 1920s or something. Then we sold it, and I think the next guy painted it bright green. So, you know, go figure. But, it's, you know, even small things like that, I mean, we didn't spend a lot of time on it. We just asked around and, you know, tried to learn a little bit and bought the paint. So, any other discussions on this item? If not, we'll move on to item number 10, action regarding 2019 Senate Bill 314.
So, I'm a member of Wisconsin Association for Historic Preservation Commission. So, they send through different relevant pieces of either legislation or information or projects even that are happening around the state. This one has been circulating around the group. And as I said in the memo, and as you can read in the bill, this legislation, or this proposed legislation, is written specifically for Waukesha. You can kind of interpret the language when they talk about the specific population requirements. So a little background, I guess. The county owns a historic building that they've owned since, I believe, the 80s. They are looking at developing it or selling it to a developer. And the city had in the past locally designated the property and has been trying to work with the county to ensure that at least the integrity of the property is maintained. It sounds like a majority of the building will be destroyed or removed for this new development, with only a portion left intact. So this has been a large local battle down in the Milwaukee area, and that's a result of this, or the result is this proposed legislation. So that might be, I mean, you can make the argument that that's their fight. However, looking back at what has been circulated and tried in recent years as far as putting limits on local municipalities' authority statewide, putting limits on the ability to locally designate or protect structures within the community, statewide that has failed, but locally they have now taken this approach, at least down in the Milwaukee area. And so I guess the concern among everyone is that this would become more and more, that it wouldn't become a statewide issue, but a case-by-case issue, and kind of erode municipalities' local control that way. I had it as an action item. If you felt like it was necessary to take action, but really I was just including it just for your reference, or just to bring it to your attention that, you know, this is something that's happening down in Milwaukee. Could happen here down the road. We only have I believe two properties locally designated, so really we haven't ran into a big contentious battle. I think both properties are in Heritage Hill, so I don't expect us to, in the immediate future, to run into a contentious battle like this, but it's just, I think, something to be aware of.
It's good to be aware. I mean, it's kind of a precedent setting, you know, and so it could be developed in a smaller community, a little mirror image of this bill relating to some other, you know, municipality, and then pretty soon, you know, like you said, we only have two locally designated items, and they're both in Heritage Hill, so it's not something on our radar, it's not something we're looking to do right now, so, but it's good to know that this is here. I wouldn't have known about it otherwise. Is there any, do we feel a need to take any action on this other than just
to receive and place on file if we don't want to take action?
Yes, pardon?
We could receive and place on file if we don't want to take action.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can we do that?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for the future. Any other discussion on this item? If not, we'll move on to item number 10, discussion regarding Sunlight Park Neighborhood Picnic. Well, I might not be the best one to comment other than just initially. I was only there for 20 minutes, mm-hmm. and Jim's not here.
Yeah, I was actually there.
Yeah, you were there. You were there.
And it was, we had a really good turnout from this whole area, Arrowhead and St. Francis and Langley Road, and a lot of families, a lot of children, and the Alloway Historic.
The Historic Alloway Society was there, yeah?
Yeah, and they actually had tables and materials they were giving out and were willing to answer any questions. So they were very helpful. And the village was very nice to bring all the picnic tables and for the families. And I think it worked out really well. And I think the families, there was a lot of food, a lot of kids.
They hadn't even started the grill when I left.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, they were just, I think it was just being unloaded from this, I forget who brought it over.
Yeah.
But, the little brochure that's attached to our packet was produced by Hannah. Who is she still here?
She is.
Pardon?
For another month or so.
Yeah, okay, she's the summer communications intern, and she did this on maybe only a week or two notice, and it was her first week or two on the job.
Yeah.
You know, she just came, and Trevor said, here, do this. And she put it together, and I thought it was great to have something short and easy to take away. And the Historic Alloway Society came, as Cecile said, with their tables, and, you know, they do this. They show up at events, and he had, you know, Jim and his maps, you know. When he, and so he and Rita Houston
and a few more.
There were a couple more when I was there, and I think more were coming.
Yeah.
But Jim, you know, one of our objectives early on, I think, in this season, this year, was to kind of do something jointly with the Historic Alloway Society, and I think we kind of did that. I mean, Jim, you know, offered to publish my little writing. Does everyone, or would anyone like one of these?
Sure, yeah.
Do you have one? Okay. Trevor, do you need one? This was the one that you had misplaced. Okay, that was for Trevor. And here's... So that little write-up that I passed around at our early in the meeting ended up as a feature article. So now I guess I can say I've been published, right? And what, you know, Jim was good about, he went back into the Green Bay Press Gazette archives and he knew how to work the software better than I, so he could make them, he could print them off and have them be legible. And mine were not quite as legible. And so he went back and found all those and printed them off and added a couple to it. And you know, the maps from the CG, from the Brown County GIS software, you know, the aerial photograph. So I thought he did it was nice that he did that, you know. We had something to kind of remember the celebration by.
Mm-hmm.
I may have to ask him for more copies because our neighbors, they didn't go, but somebody heard about it and said, oh, you got one of those copies?
Do you know if anything was sent over to the library or the museum to put on file there?
No.
No?
Is that...
I don't know. I mean, a lot of times when they put together these exhibits, you know, sometimes they're looking for stuff like this.
And this could be just on file. I mean, they could.
Yeah, they've got files.
Someone said, and I thought about it too, but I didn't pursue it. You know, the Brown County Historical Society has a semi-annual news, like a journal.
Sure.
And then they have quarterly little, like this, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so someone said, why don't you submit that to, I'd have to talk to Jim because it's, now he's got it.
Okay.
You know. But that might be another way to get this. So maybe, is that something that I should do, or do you want to do it?
I can do it. I'll send it over to Mary Jane to keep in the genealogy area.
She's a good one to keep all
the
stuff.
And then I'll send it to Beth to put in their records.
Okay.
So
I don't have it electronically. I don't know. Jim was going to send it to me, but I'm not sure whether he can or would.
I can scan it to go PDF too.
That's what I would. And my scanner and PDF stuff didn't work so well. When I was doing this, it was still not real legible. And his is, I may need a magnifying glass, but it kind of gets the picture. So I guess it was a success. And so.
Yeah, it's a very nice brochure. Okay. You did a great job.
Yeah, you can thank Hannah for us, for the committee, for sure.
Yeah. I thought it was interesting about in March of 2003, the Village of Alloway Board took upon a request to rename Sunlight Park to Baston Park, the motion failed.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Does anybody know why? Or
I could try to ask you earlier.
I tried to find out too, and he was a guy who was locally important. That's all I can remember. I quit looking at it because I was.
You don't have very good records in 2003.
Whatever there wasn't, I couldn't.
They just said nope, done. No,
we don't know anything about this guy, but apparently it didn't. What I wanted to do, and still may do when I decide to take more time, is to learn something about the old Claiborne farm. Being a kid that grew up on a farm, you know, in southern Indiana, at least half my childhood was spent there, and I'd be interested in learning who Claiborne was and pictures of the old farm, and that might be at the Neville Museum. I mean, they might have, you know, in their photographic archives. Anyway, I got summer came and I got sidetracked doing other things. So if I learn more, I'll pass it on. Everybody got one of these? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Any other comments on that event? Item number 12, discussion regarding projects and properties update. CLG Grant Robinson Hill Historic District nomination.
Yes. So just a brief update. I believe I mentioned this last time as well. It has been submitted. The report has been submitted. It's in draft form. The State Historic Preservation Office is reviewing it. There's likely to be some tweaks to the report. Once those edits are made, it will then eventually get passed on to the State Historic Preservation Review Board, which meets quarterly. When I asked the state if it would be early summer, late fall when they meet, if this would be on the agenda, they said not likely because of the backlog they have. Likely this would be December, so before it's reviewed by the State Historic Preservation Office and or Review Board. And then from there, it's forwarded to the National Park Service to be reviewed, and they have 90 days to review it and get it back. So likely by March of next year, we'll have word. So it does take time, unfortunately, but it is moving.
Yeah, so we could kind of plan on having one of those events like we had for Miramar, you know, when the weather's better than December.
Yeah.
Because I remember it was nice when we had the one for Miramar District. So, okay, good. Things move slowly, but they move.
Yes.
Yeah. Anything else on item number 12? I guess we'll move on to item 13, next meeting date and agenda items. Trevor, do you have anything? We're meeting quarterly, is that correct?
Right. So the next meeting would be in October. It would be the 23rd. And I believe the CLG annual report was a requested item on there. I also want to start, because that would potentially be our last meeting for the year, I want to start for every committee the last meeting or maybe the second to last meeting of every year, just look at, have an agenda item of meeting time and schedule. But just so that it's not set in stone that we have to meet the fourth Wednesday of every month. It's kind of written on our website, but if maybe the fourth Monday of the month, well, not the fourth Monday of the month, but maybe if a different day worked better for everyone or if there was ever a conflict, I just want it to be discussed on a regular basis so that people don't might not leave a committee because of scheduling conflicts or something like that. So that's something that I would request.
Anything else? It's a long time off. Hard to plan. Hard to think about what might be might be happening. Then, okay. If nothing else, then I'll entertain a motion for adjournment.
I'll make a motion to adjourn.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All those in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? We're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Trevor. Well, I'll give this to Trevor. Don't forget to thank Hannah for her brochure. I know a long time has passed since then. I know she's moved on to other more complex issues, but I thought that was a good first job assignment. She's only here a couple of weeks, and I said, "Oh, yeah." Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
The rest of the evening?
Yeah, gotta go home and take the dogs for a walk and have happy hour.
Hey,
oh, I better stop it here.